2FM Mornings
with Laura Fox
Podcast.
Sponsored by Maxall. From kids' lunches to tonight's dinner, you'll find bags more to get you through the week at Maxall.
Now, award season is in full swing, which means fashion is front and centre and the stars are looking to all get on those best dress lists. But how does it all work? Do fashion houses dress the stars? Do the stylists make the decisions? And what, if anything, do the stars themselves get to decide on with regard to their look? Well, stylist Laura Mullet is here now to explain all the work that goes into creating the best looks of the season. Good morning, Laura.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm very well, thank you very well.
I am delighted to be sitting across this desk from you right now, because any other time, just whatever way things have fallen, either I haven't been here or we've been doing this on the phone. So it's great to see you in the flesh. You're the woman who is in the know when it comes to all of this. And I love award season purely for the red carpet. I cannot get enough of it. Myself and Lottie were just drooling this week over the fact that Maura Higgins made it onto the Golden Globes carpet and how she did not look out of place there. And the Yanks are all falling in love with her, as they should. We will probably talk about her in a couple of moments time.
Yes.
But first, let's start with how on earth this works, right? Do the fashion houses approach the stylist, or does it work the other way around, or does it happen that like one of the celebs is like, this is who I want to wear, this is the look I envision, or is it kind of a mix of everything?
Like, Hollywood stylists are on a whole different level. Like, they have to be powerhouses, they have to be with the PRs, they have to be with the designers, they need to be in with the creative directors on a very palsy term, because the reality is stylists are under pressure. Like, when you're a celebrity, like, you want to look your absolute best. This could make or break your next role. And I think getting out on that world stage, it has more impact than people could ever know, because it makes people eligible for opportunities and stuff. So what I would say is stylists have more influence than many would think. Like, they do have a huge creative direction role, but a lot of celebrities are very forthright about their wants, their needs, how they want to look good. Then there can be the polar opposite, where someone sits back and is like, okay, I've hired the best, I can exhale now.
Is that like for you as a stylist, like, what's your preferred route? Do you prefer someone who is very like stern and knows what they're looking for, or do you like a blank canvas?
I think variety is really healthy. Okay. Like, some of my most fulfilling styling gigs have been working with a fabulous celebrity, then going and co-designing something. So when you work with the designer and maybe bring something to life that's really special, if it's for a huge cover shoot or it's for a red carpet, I just think it kind of satisfies that creative thrill.
Yeah.
But also, you really want to put your celebrity in something that people haven't really seen before.
Well, this is the hard part.
Yes. Okay?
And I joke on this show the whole time about like never having an original thought, you know, like everything that we kind of think of has been done before in some way, shape or form. When it comes to style, you know, obviously we see styles come back throughout the ages, but trying to get something that is show-stopping, that people are going, wow, that is not going to land you on a Stack the Stylist list, because that's probably the worst thing that could ever happen to a stylist ever. What about like some of the celebrities? Do they share stylists, or like who works with who, or how does that work? Like, is it quite territorial?
I think it's really interesting how it all works. So La Roche, one of my favourite stylists, he has Celine Dion, Annie has Zendaya. Then we have the likes of Tara Swen, and she has Kristen Stewart and Emily Kratajkowski. Again, very, very different.
Yeah.
It just sort of depends person to person. One of my favourite stylists is actually a male stylist predominantly. So Ilaria Urbanati, and she styles Barry Keoghan and also styles The Rock.
Yeah.
So, like, do you know what I mean? I just think it's so interesting how, especially, I think there's a massive pressure and onus on stylists that work with males. Like, I work with a lot of guys for the red carpet and celebrities.
Which is hard.
Yeah, because you want them to stand out, but it's also about it being a little bit theatrical, but also working within the confines of someone's personality.
Yeah.
Like, as you asked me earlier, do I like someone being full on or not? I think I love enthusiasm. I think you want someone to feel gorgeous inside out and be confident in their look.
How about like the entire package? Because, I mean, down to your nail colour is scrutinised on the red carpet. So you have to have everything that just ties in together. So do stylists kind of like work with like hair and makeup and, you know, look at what the entire creative vision is? Or do they just step back once they put the clothes on?
Well, I think what's really interesting is there's a makeup artist called Nina Park, and she has sort of reset the view on that, where a lot of celebrities are reaching out and wanting her, and then that falls in alignment with stylists.
Okay.
So usually if a stylist is kind of in charge of the creative, there's like a little assembled team or whatever. But let's say Emma Stone and Jessie Buckley both shared Nina Park this year.
Okay.
Because she's just the makeup artist. She does this like really pared back Chanel like neutral face where people look like themselves but look flawless.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's coveted for stars at the moment. moment.
Do the movie companies get involved at all? Because, I mean, like you just mentioned Zendaya there, when she was out doing the tour for Challengers, that was one of the best tours I've ever seen when it came to style. Because remember, she had the tennis shoes.
Yes, so
cool. She had the tennis ball on the back of them and everything. And like, let us not forget Margot Robbie when she did the Barbie World Tour. Yeah. We were so obsessed with what she was going to have on her. And she had an ode to Barbie the entire way through it. So she was like, this is the 1970s doll. This is the 1980s, like Malibu Barbie, like dollhouse. This is the dress that she wore. Like, do the movie companies get involved in that?
I think what happens is, outside of the Hollywood roles, people have these massive contracts. Like, someone could be the face of Chanel and the body of Chanel for 8 million. So let's say the likes of Zendaya, who works, you know, nearly exclusively with Louis Vuitton in many cases, she will be decked out in Louis Vuitton and her stylist will kind of work in accordance with that, maybe pairing vintage pieces, going into the archives. We see these stylists going into the archives.
They love the archives.
They love that. So I think it's about maybe creating these magic moments. Like, we see Kaia Gerber, Cindy Crawford's daughter. And I mean, she takes such pride into, imagine that being your mom's closet. I can't cope.
I actually cannot deal with it.
But she reaches in and I suppose she brings out these archival looks that really get jaws dropping. It's like the Liz Hurley dressed with all the safety pins. Yeah. I think everyone will look at that and be like, wow, that was her moment. I think everyone is looking for their fashion moment that makes jaws drop and could change the course of their lives.
And it does, because exactly like you opened the segment with, it changes the course of their entire career. Like, if you are well received on any of these carpets, because you're now on a world stage, you know, people, whether they are into fashion or not, are looking at you. It really does determine what roles you get out of that, what jobs come down the line, what collaborations, like these $8 million like Chanel or Dior things that are happening. What are the big style icons that we're looking at the minute? Like, who are they?
Well, like Emma Stone, I think, is a big one. She's sort of having a revival where there's a little bit of scrutiny on her change of image. She's changed certain elements about herself. I think there's massive pressure in Hollywood to do so. But I think her look has changed as well. I think she looks more pared back. She's kind of going for, as I said, that Nina Park kind of smoky makeup vibe. Her style is Louis Vuitton. She's styled by Petra Flannery. And we're seeing these kind of crop top, sort of cool, edgy shapes. I think it's all about going for that modernity, but then kind of not leaving the classic vibe. But I mean, you'd rarely see her with her stomach out to the extent she had it, and she looked absolutely amazing.
Stunning.
So I think she looks great. I have to say, I think Maura Higgins is really a front
runner. I was like, how do I bring her back into this again?
Oh, she's exceptional. Like, I think for her to represent us on that stage, she looked unbelievable. And I mean, she's every right to be at the Golden Globes. I mean, she starred as the Love Island After Sun presenter for 3 years in America. She's on the Traders US. She's got everyone talking. She's so smart, I think, though, to go for Maeve Reilly as her stylist, because she used to style Hailey Bieber. She now styles Megan Fox. I think Maura knows what she deserves and what she wants, and she's leveraging these opportunities to up her star power.
I mean, she's absolutely sensational. We've obviously seen her on all UK red carpets, you know, in recent years, and it's been like phenomenal to see her there. But I even think what she's done on the Traitors in the US, she hasn't shown up like in, you know, just like jeans and a t-shirt as she could. That would be totally fine. She has gone into that and gone, bang, you're going to be talking about me. I'm waiting till I open my mouth, because that's when you're going to fall in love with me even more again. It's unbelievable.
Her broad appeal while being kind of authentically herself really stands out. But I like the fact that she's two sides of the same coin. Like, she loves the glamour as well.
Yeah.
While she's very real and funny, I think seeing her, it's kind of a fun playfulness. Like, she wore Marmar Halim, a very classic, elegant kind of Audrey Hepburn vibe we're seeing a lot from her lately. But she had the cape, which is very Traitors.
Yeah, the cape was very
the big
Traitors.
Gold cape.
And it worked on the bot, on the glam bot.
Yes.
And it just looked so good. She knew exactly what she was doing when she was going into it. What about influencer Wisdom K? Like, what's the story there?
Everyone's talking about him at the moment. So he is absolutely unbelievable. He has over 8 million followers, but he is, I suppose, the leading influencer that's working with these premium fashion houses. But a lot of people are saying he's kind of reframing about what influencing really is. Now, when people hear that word, I know it's a bit taboo, but this man is a fashion model. He's a businessman. He's a pioneer. His style is absolutely out of this world. I've never seen anyone dress like him. His imagination and his content, it's just sort of a reimagining of advertisements for these billion-dollar companies. Like, he's took the power back. But also, he could go on. I think he bought something designer that was faulty. And he's very honest as well. So I think integrity is something that'll never go out of style.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. And also, I love that you started that off by saying, like, influencer. Like, people kind of do cringe a little bit.
They do.
Like, think if you you just reframe it a bit and go look at influencers as if like they're just these new marketing campaigns and these new advertisements that we have been looking at for generations. You know, there's always been advertising. It's just when you can actually put a person to it and you're talking about a singular person as opposed to an entire brand, that's what changes the face of it. But someone like him, exactly what you're saying there, it's that integrity of being like really honest about it. But look what I can do with these fashion houses.
Yes.
Look what I'm able to bring to the table. Let's not forget about actual Oscar contenders themselves. We obviously talked about Jessie Buckley and Paul Mescal. How are they faring out on the red carpet this season?
They look exceptional. I think Ireland is just having this really intensive takeover and I love it so much. We have Jonathan Anderson as the creative director of Dior since 2025, and the fact that Jessie Buckley wore Dior, she was styled by Danielle Goldberg, I think, who's a phenomenal stylist as well. So again, A-listers, but we're seeing the Irish really show up in style. Yeah. Paul Mescal has, you know, a fabulous natural charisma, and I think his styling reflects that. He can kind of go more minimalist, but there's always a little bit of edge to him, and I think that suits him too. He's a bit like a modern day Colin Farrell. When Colin Farrell used to hit the red carpet, everyone used to be like, oh my god, it's just a vibe, and I think this is both of their moment.
And just because we have mentioned him a few times now, Jonathan Anderson is Irish, for anyone who doesn't know that.
Yes,
and
he is.
Has joined Dior since last year, so I mean, obviously what a cool brand to get to be dressed in.
I know,
it's so classic, and it's just fabulous.
I think for Jessie Buckley, this is really a moment to show her star power, and to win Best Actress while wearing Dior is just such a Cinderella moment for a fabulous, talented Kerry woman.
Yeah, exactly. What are the big trends that we're looking at this year, Laura?
Oh, clean girl aesthetic is gone.
Thank God.
Yes. So we're looking at drama. We're going to see a lot more print on the red carpet.
Gorge.
Print can be done through embellishment and detailing. It doesn't always have to be contrasting colours. It can be colour blocking as well. And we're going to see a lot of three-dimensional effects, a lot more kind of strong shoulders. Think of an ode to the 80s with modernity. But yeah, the minimalism is kind of gone. Like, I think there can be a minimalist silhouette, like let's say Maura did in her gown, but then you're going to have extra, there's going to be bold accessories and just something that makes a look exceptional and gets people talking.
I say this as someone who has only done clean girl makeup for the last 10 years because all my ability actually allows me to do, but I do love the grunginess, I love the messiness, I love that we're going back into maximalism, because I feel like people's personalities get to shine a whole lot more, that it's just like, it's bonkers and it's fun, and that's what we should be seeing on red carpets. I never want to look at a red carpet and think I could wear that to a wedding or I could wear that in the morning. I want to go, wow.
Well, I saw you in a PU kind of a cool corset one time, and it was like the hard, like knock on resin. So I feel you make bold choices as well. I think like you've had some really exciting red carpet moments. I think Irish people are so brave and I love that. And I think if you look at Irish red carpets and events, I think a lot of the people here could be held up against the standard that's considered in the US. And there's such a wealth of talent here in terms of design, in terms of, you know, people who can repurpose things. And I think it's all about imagination and flair. And I think standing out doesn't always mean the most expensive team. No. It can be just a team that's all on the same page and the same wavelength. So really good makeup, really good styling, really good hair, beautiful nails, and confidence is key, I think.
Also, I mean, if we had an A-list Hollywood budget, like, we could be going a lot further with things. It's all about building towards the Oscars though, isn't it? Because that is the night that the stars really pull out their favourite looks and they put their best foot forward. But we've got a lot of red carpets before then. It must be incredibly hard to go, I don't want to wear this now, but you do have to be spotted. You have to be looked at on these carpets so that by the time we get to the Oscars, you're going, oh, they did it. Oh, it's just cherry on top.
But I think even the best can get it wrong. Like, I remember I loved watching the Met Gala live coverage last year on Vogue on the YouTube. And I saw Laura Roach, who, again, I'd put on a massive pedestal. He's so talented. And Zendaya was one of the co-hosts of the whole evening. And I mean, you could just see he was being interviewed and he side glared. He saw someone else in the same suit as Zendaya, which can happen with archival things. Someone might have bought that. Like, it's a whole different ball game, I think, especially with consignment stores and investment pieces. And a lot of stylists, though, I find, are trying to make things custom for this reason, to kind of hone it a little bit. But yeah, it's not always easy. And I think award season, it takes stamina. It takes a dream team, but it takes massive organisation. And also, I think, trust, because a celebrity, as you're saying about the worst stylist list, you don't want to be in the worst dresses as a celeb either.
No.
You want people to think, wow, she nailed it.
That's exactly what you want. And I saw an awful lot from the Globes coverage the other day of people who just got it wrong. And yeah. And people are ruthless the way they tear them down. You know, it is quite like, okay, we don't have to be this aggressive about it, but I get it. You cannot like something because yeah. I'm like, J-Lo comes to mind purely because I think that she tried to go back maybe yeah. like to the kind of 2010s of it all. And I don't know if it actually worked for her. Have you had a favourite Oscars look from over the years yourself, Laura? Or even like an award season that has just stood out for you?
I have to say, I think when Halle Berry won her Oscar, I think I'll never forget that look. It had this kind of beautiful petal detailing and it was kind of transparent and it was just sort of on scene at the time. Like, yeah. That was a long time ago now. But I always thought that look was spectacular. I think it was the Golden Globes when Gwyneth Paltrow wore like a baby pink. I think she won for Shakespeare in Love. Yeah. And it was, pretty sure it was Calvin Klein. It was a basic pink strapless dress and it had a slight A-line. But I think it's the more basic stuff that you'd look to and be like, God, that would be beautiful now if her daughter Apple wore it.
But this is it. Yeah. We talked about earlier on about like Kaia Gerber being yeah. able to reach into the closet. Apple's doing the same thing with Gwyneth's closet.
I love this whole nepo movement. I think people, again, don't see the humour in it. Like, it's so fascinating to live through two generations of star power. And I think, you know, whatever people choose to do in their careers and lives, I think it is fascinating to see doppelgangers of celebrities we might have like enjoyed watching in the 90s without social media and that sphere. I think seeing it now, you sort of get an insight and you're like, wow, like some people really do clone themselves when they have children.
I will say, I do like when nepo babies actually lean into it a little bit and they're just like, yeah, absolutely. And they're using their free will to our advantage, where we're like, oh, look at them, they look stunning. Just about the black, I just want to talk about the suits for a minute before we let you go, okay? Because obviously, like, we've spoken about like men on the red carpet and all that, and it's very hard to get it right. But are we seeing that like the black tux is just classic and it's just coming back? Because there was a lot of that at the Golden Globes.
Yeah.
Like, there wasn't as many colourful suits out there.
No, I saw a little bit of royal blue silk. I saw a little bit of velvet, some cravats, some brooches. Mm. Again, we're kind of seeing it via accessorising. I think the boldest look I really saw would have been Owen Cooper, and he's the star of Adolescence, and I love that he goes and gets pictures that absolutely everyone he sees at these awards shows.
He's
an icon. He's an icon. But that's how I really saw his outfit, because of him wearing it. But it was kind of utility style. It was a little bit camo. It was really, really cool. It was very age appropriate, I think, which is nice to see. I think for a young man, he looked really, really well. We saw Timothy Chalamet in Chrome Hearts. Those who don't know Chrome Hearts, it's so expensive. Yeah. He got a custom suit and custom boots, all black. But the thing is, it was very casual. Like, it was like it looked like a black t-shirt. It was probably a jumper, but again, very minimalist. I think what will kind of change is people lean into those slight Gatsby vibes coming to the Oscars for male accessorizing. I think it's down to kind of, again, archival kind of Tom Ford, his kind of Eric Gucci. People do tend to bring out the coloured velvets. I think that's what we tend to see. Men try and achieve that glamour through plushness. Mm. So things looking rich and luxurious and looking good with their skin tone and looking good on camera. But yeah, I'm excited to see. I hope people will up their game a little bit. That stylist I mentioned earlier, Ilari Urbanati, she styled Barry Keoghan with kind of this kind of cravat vintage style.
Yeah.
I think stylists are really good when they have a theme for the likes of the Met Gala. But sometimes what will happen is a star, like, they'll just want to play a little bit safer. So it just depends.
I think there's nothing hotter than a man in a black tux. So they can just walk down the carpet in that all day long. And I'm going to be looking at what the girls are wearing anyway. We just got a text in here saying the Halle Berry dress was a Murad Guinea pink dress. And when she got the Oscar, and it was Ralph Lauren.
It was Ralph Lauren. Yeah, fabulous. It was beautiful.
Laura Mullish, thank you so much for joining us this morning and talking all things stylist and fashion all this Oscar season. If people are looking to follow you and look at what you're up to, where can they go?
So you can follow me on Laura Mullet Stylist on Instagram. And if you have any styling dilemmas, I'm here to help.
2FM Mornings
with Laura Fox.
Podcast.
Sponsored by Maxall. From kids' lunches to tonight's dinner, you'll find bags more to get you through the week at Maxall.